We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, and welcome into CHGO White Sox Podcast. And welcome in to Studio A here in our West Loop Studios. My name is Herb Lawrence. You can follow me on Twitter at EchnerWall23. That is Lawrence spelled backwards. 2-3 for Rob Ventura. The guy to my left, or your right, it is Vinny Duber. He is CHGO's White Sox beat reporter. You can follow Vinny at Vinny Duber. Today, we have a very special show, and also producing for us today is Sarah.
Hi.
Hey. And usually we'll have our guy Sean, but he's on assignment today. He'll hopefully be joining us back tomorrow. So today's show, jam-packed. Vinny spoke with Colson Montgomery, and he also has his latest article on allchgo.com on that very subject. So we'll hear from Colson Montgomery a little later in the show. Also, if we have time, there's a trivia I want to test you back there in the audience and also Vinny on best players from each state in our great union and see if we know who the best players from each state and where the ties come in are where they have White Sox ties. And these players that I have listed out, there are five of them, have White Sox ties of our great 50 states.
I was going to say, am I supposed to go 1 through 50 on this? Oh, man.
Can you give me Alaska's right now?
No.
Okay.
No, I can't. Carlos Boozer.
It is not Trajan Langdon either. All right. But first, today the White Sox, let's see if this game's over. It doesn't really matter. It's 12-9 in the bottom of the ninth inning. The White Sox are losing to the LA Dodgers. There were some good things in today's game. And Sarah, if you want to flash up the good things, today we had Eloy Jimenez. 2-for-2, a home run, infield single, and he scored 3 runs. Like, he looked like the player that we want him to look like. Paul DeJong with a 3-for-3 game, a double and 3 driven in today. Peralta came in for his only appearance, struck out the aptly named James Outman, and pretty much sat on his butt after that. And the White Sox did most of their damage today off of big-time free agent pitcher Yamamoto. First name again?
Yoshinobu, I believe. Yeah.
Yamamoto. 5 earned runs off of Yamamoto in 3 innings pitch. He walked the yard, and the White Sox, very patient at the plate. It was good to see. And the thing I have listed as the third thing, but I think that most people who are White Sox fans were impressed with today, the Pedro ball edict was coming through. You had Yoan Moncada square for a bunt. He didn't put it down, but as a two-hitter, you've talked to Pedro, and he has said that as the two-hitter, he would want people to be bunting and moving runners along and be the prototypical two-hitter of yesteryear. He did that. And then you had Dominic Fletcher, who I think he was batting 6th or 7th today, laid on a perfect bunt down the third baseline. You had a guy in Eloy Jimenez and Yoan Moncada advance from first and second to second and third on a sacrifice fly by Andrew Vaughn. So you have Pedro Ball in full effect versus one of the best teams in baseball in the LA Dodgers. Now, Vinny, I don't know if you focused in on all these games or all what happened in today's game, but to see that Pedro Ball is permeating through the system and these guys are, for today's game, listening and executing Pedro Ball, how's that got a feel for the Pedro, firstly, and the coaching staff, secondly?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good example of something that you can take away from one of these spring training games and actually have it apply to what we're going to end up seeing in the regular season. I mean, listen, Eloy Jimenez is playing great in spring training, right? But how many times have we seen somebody put up good numbers in the spring, then the season starts and the switch flips in the other direction, and vice versa, right? You're going to talk about some guys who played poorly either today or have been playing poorly during spring training, during Cactus League games, and it might not end up mattering at all because the stats are kind of worthless in the spring for the most part. But when you're talking about the way a team is playing, that is something that you can take away, and that is something that you can kind of focus in on. Listen, when it comes to a guy like Dominic Fletcher, who really, ticked a lot of the examples there for what you're talking about, that guy was brought in to do this, right? A guy like Fletcher, a guy like Nicky Lopez, a guy like Paul DeJong, who's having some success at the plate. They were brought in to do these things because Chris Getz and Pedro Grifol knew that they were going to be able to go out and play in that way. It's seeing maybe the squaring for a bunt from Yoan Moncada that maybe makes your eyebrows go up a little bit, mm-hmm. because that maybe is something that we haven't seen very much before, and it is an example maybe of someone buying in to what Pedro is trying to kind of do in terms of overhauling the way that this team plays. That really was the big question, is not, can what Pedro is talking about work? Can it be successful? I think it absolutely can if you've got the guys to do it, but we didn't know if they had the guys to do it. We still don't really know that question. Yeah, the guys they brought in can do that, but can Luis Robert Jr. play that way? Can Yoan Moncada play that way? Can Eloy Jimenez play that way? To see Moncada be one of the examples of what Pedro was talking about is probably a very positive thing, certainly for him and for the White Sox in general. I'm not really taking much from a hit landing in the grass or landing over the fence in spring training versus the what you always talk about, the process behind it, right? And the way that those guys are playing, the way that they're trying to make this team's identity come about, at least the one they've talked about. So when you see a lot of examples of successful playing fast, if you want to continue to use the term that the manager is using, that's a good sign for this team being able to realize what it has been talking about for the last several months.
And as I say all the time, I think you play how you practice, and these are practice games. That's exclusively what they were. I was watching Yamamoto pitch today, and he is known for his splitter, and I did not see it today. And if it was up, I mean, if it was present today, it was up big time. He was not doing the pitch that got him that big time contract from the LA Dodgers. But I guarantee these hitters in the White Sox are like, hey, man, we had some good at-bats against a guy that is one of the best in the world coming to our league, and it's got to make us feel good. Even though I'm a process over results guy, those people are probably like, hey, man, I'd like to see a ball go over the shortstop's head for a hit. And Eloy probably is like, yeah, I've been working on this thing of getting the ball in the air, home run immediately. And so those, while the 12-9 doesn't necessarily matter, and the 3-for-3 for Paul DeJong doesn't matter to us, I think just in the head of being confident of who you are and, speaking things through existence initially and then actually doing it on the field, even in practice games, it's got to go for something. It's got to mean something. And that's how I'm transitioning to how Michael Kopech pitched today. You're going to get to one of the best lineups in baseball, bar none. You started off with no rest. It's Mookie Betts. And then it's the best player in baseball and Shohei Ohtani. And then you downshift a little bit to Freddie Freeman. Oh, just Freddie Freeman.
Three MVPs, 1, 2, 3.
And he's like, okay. And Michael started like that. He started kind of rocky. His line on the day was 2 2/3, 2 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 Ks, a hit by pitch. The 2 of the walks and the hit by pitch both scored. That's the runs he gave up today on 55 pitches. overall, I thought that Michael Kopech going against the lineup and taking that to account pitched all right today. He ran himself into problems like he did in the first game. This game, he gave up one run in that first inning. Mookie Betts scored on a sacrifice fly. But I think for the most part, Michael Kopech can take this game and say, yes, there were some things that I was deficient on, but I battled back and I looked a little bit more confident than I did last year, especially versus the measuring stick, which is the LA Dodgers that they're throwing out there. So I think that Michael Kopech, like, mentally will go out of this game and say, there were things that are wrong, but I think I'm progressing in the right direction.
I hope he can take those things away as someone who is just looking at the results, which, of course, I've just talked about why you're not supposed to do that during spring training. But stop walking, guys. Right? Yeah. I mean, like, listen, this is spring training. It doesn't count. It's very possible that he was working on something, that he was trying to pitch in a very specific way, situationally, in his limited time that he was going to be on the mound. I'm not ready to say that he was going out there to try to pitch the way he's going to his first turn in the rotation once the games start counting. But man, stop walking, guys. Yep. You know, and if the entire offseason and the entire spring is about this guy finding the strike zone or this guy being able to overcome not finding the strike zone, we haven't seen that yet, right? I mean, we've seen him put guys on base and have those guys today score. Yep. You just mentioned it there. So you know, it's a box. And in camp, if you notice during some of the videos that I posted early in camp of the bullpen sessions that they throw, it's string. They've got two posts up with a string making the strike zone, right? And they've got a fake little cardboard cutout batter standing next to him too. Get the ball in that box, and the more that you do that, the better you're going to have a chance of replicating that within the game. We've yet to see it. I'm not saying anybody should panic or be worried, but this was the guy who led the American League in walks last year. It was very obviously a very big problem all season long. The wind, you know, we heard nothing but praise about the kind of offseason that Michael Kopech had. If he goes into the regular season and he's still not able to find that strike zone, if the number of walks is still negatively affecting him in a way where it balloons into runs being scored, I'm going to not necessarily question how good the offseason was, but question, where has the change been? You had X number of months to work on it. Where's the change? This is where the change is supposed to develop in spring training. I will reserve my judgment until March 20, whatever, or March 30, whatever, is Michael Kopech's first outing. But if every time out in the Cactus League it's more and more walks, you start to wonder, is that going to be something that is just going to continue to bother this guy for another year?
Yeah, and to his credit, there was a 3-0 count, I believe it was on Shohei Ohtani, came back, threw him a 3-0 fastball. Shohei offered that. It was inside on him. Then I think 3-1, he threw him a slider or a breaking ball. And then on 3-2, Shohei just pulled the hands in. It was an inside fastball. Shohei just pulled the hands in and got an infield single and because he's one of the best, if not the best player of all time. So you got to tip your cap there. But I think also the strike zone there early in that game was kind of not in Michael's favor. But you are a wild pitcher. Don't think these umps like Dan Bellino, who was behind the plate, don't know your wildness. And, you know, it's not necessarily they're doing it against you, but they're, you know, not giving you the benefit of the doubt because they see the numbers of you walking. They've probably been behind the plate in times that you've pitched the ball, and they're like, yeah, this guy's all over the plate, so I won't give him the benefit of the doubt. But there were some pitches down there that I thought that Michael should have been getting. You know, Greg Maddux would have got it. You know, old pitchers or Scherzer, people who are more pinpoint would have got those calls. But I think your reputation precedes you as a human. Those umps are just going to call what they call. So I think that he pitched better than the numbers will actually say that he pitched. But a guy that didn't pitch as well as the numbers say he pitched, even though the numbers are horrid, Tuki Toussaint. Now, Tuki's on the 40-man, everybody. And so, for the most part, we've been like, yeah, Tuki is going to be, you know, the long man. And this still might be true. But this season in the spring training has not been good for Tuki Toussaint. Today, he went out and relieved Peralta after Peralta struck out his one batter. He started a clean inning. He pitched 1 1/3, gave up 5 hits, 7 earned runs, 3 walks, no strikeouts, a grand slam to Freddie Freeman, and now for the spring, he has a 59.4 ERA.
It's big.
Yeah. And giving up a grand slam to Freddie Freeman, he won't be the first or the last. But the thing that he has and the bugaboo that he has been having are the walks.
Stop walking, guys.
Look at this. It's a theme for this show. 3 walks today, no strikeouts for Tuku Susan. My question is, yeah, results don't necessarily matter, but there's a lot of pitchers or non-roster invitees on the White Sox that are looking for a major league job with a bunch of bullpen spots open. And Tuki San, we talked about him yesterday where, yeah, he can be a long man, but, you know, maybe the White Sox don't need a long man, especially if we're talking about that 6-man rotation, if they're going to be doing, which hasn't been, you know, spoken about by anybody in any type of capacity. So I'm just speculating.
Besides, but, you.
Exactly. Yeah. Just me. And so we might not need a long man in Tuki Toussaint, and a reliever that walks the yard is a bad reliever. So can Tuki Toussaint, you know, be left off of this White Sox 40-man and DFA before the end of the spring?
Can he? Absolutely. We're going to see how this plays out. I mean, listen, I think, again, the spring training numbers are not what you should be looking at when you ask this question. What you should be looking at when you ask this question is a guy who had problems with walks last year. Boy, I'm just going to be repeating myself from the Kopech comments I just made. But to the point where I looked it up because I remember him saying this quote, and I looked it up in last August after an outing. He said to us at some point, the entire league knows that I walk guys. Like, he has a reputation of being a guy who walks a lot of batters. And I'm not trying to slam the guy, because in those same answers, he kept talking about how, quote, relentlessly he was working on trying to cut down on those walks with Ethan Katz during those time between his starts and everything. It never really panned out during the season last year. Mm-hmm. So again, what I just talked about with Michael Kopech, go your X number of months in the winter and work your ass off trying to do that. I'm sure he did. But where's the results, right? And if you've got a guy who still can't help but put guys on base, that's going to drive a manager and a coaching staff and a front office crazy. So obviously they see the talent in Tuki Toussaint. I believe he's a former first-round pick. They auditioned him last year. I didn't think he was overly impressive last year. But the idea that they need that guy who can eat innings in the bullpen, which I think they absolutely need. I know you're talking about a scenario where you think they wouldn't need it. I think regardless of how many guys are quote-unquote starting for them, they need a long man in that bullpen. I think every bullpen kind of does. Whether it's somebody who can go 4 or 5 innings in the middle of the game, I don't know. But you need somebody to go out there and eat a few innings, right? And they've got that in other ways, and guys like Tanner Banks and some of the other folks. But you would think with all these guys that they've got as starting pitchers in camp, one of those guys is probably going to end up in the major league bullpen as the, hey, you're the next man up in case we need a starter or a spot starter. Or, hey, we need, you know, Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech, Eric Fetty, whoever, just got rocked in the first inning. We need somebody to get us the rest of the way here. That's a needed thing for a bullpen. And so he makes a lot of sense as the guy who could be that guy. Very, I guess, dependable in terms of giving you the number of pitches that you're looking for. That being said, your dependability is awfully dinged when you can't keep guys off base. And I would think that if we're talking about the way somebody is playing versus the results that occur from, you know, on a stat sheet, mm-hmm. not being able to find the strike zone and not being able to get guys out would be a pretty significant, you know, factor to me in making that roster decision. Now, they've got a lot of guys that they could go with. You know, maybe we're going to be sitting here talking about Jake Woodford in 3 weeks or something like that. So, yeah, I definitely think they could go in a different direction than Tuki Toussaint, just because they have the ability to do that this spring with all the guys that they've got in camp. I still think that there's a lot of belief in that organization in his talent. Mm-hmm. But, and that's why I put him on my roster projection that we were talking about yesterday. But if they're sitting there watching the same guy that we are, and they see the same things that we are, man, he's not hitting the strike zone, maybe this is the end of that chance for Tuki Toussaint. I mean, remember, he was a waiver claim last summer. There's nothing but himself is going to keep him off of waivers again.
And speaking of that season guide, Vinny put together your season guide for the Chicago White Sox. It is only available to CHGO diehards. people who are diehards get this for absolute free. So if you want to
become, for their diehard.
For their diehard member.
Right, exactly.
They're already in. You're good. So if you want to become a diehard member, go to allchgo.com and become a diehard today. You get access to our Discord, 20% off of merchandise, 20% off of events like our takeovers. We have 3 takeovers this year. And you get a free t-shirt when you start. You know, these are takeovers right here. We got the May 27th versus Toronto Blue Jays, these same Dodgers in June, and then of course Crosstown Classic in August.
I have to call you out, Herb.
Huh.
Because yesterday you were doing this ad read and you were listing the teams that the opponents for these games, right? Mm-hmm. You said, oh, the Blue Jays, you know, you mentioned the Cubs a little later, and you go, the Dodgers with all their stars. You say you went Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez. And I was like, wait a minute. Where's Mookie Betts? Not only where's Mookie Betts, you jumped Mookie Betts in favor of Teoscar Hernandez, who's fine, who's a good player.
But not MVP.
Mookie Betts, come on now.
Yeah, he's going to be switching to second base. That's how good he is. He's like, I could just play another position entirely, the actual position that I came to the major leagues for. But yes, if you want to be reading that season guide, which is comprehensive of every player, even the players that are non-roster invitees, you'll know exactly. Let's hit that Eric Fetty and let these people know who are watching live on the broadcast exactly what they're going to get, and then give them a little tease. Like, this is what you're getting. You're getting his 2023 summary when he's in the KBO. You're getting his outlook for 2024. And then the content that we've done. Vinny was down there in Arizona talking to Eric Fetty, down there talking to the guy who is about, 6'7"? He's a tall-ass man. So this is the type of stuff that you get as a CHGO diehard, not just the shirts, not just the 20% off, not just the 20% off the events, but a comprehensive season guide
because it's
for
not
the
just,
White Sox.
It's not just Luis Robert Jr. It's not just Eloy Jimenez. It's Prelander Baroa.
It's Jake Woodford.
A lot of people ask about Jake Woodford. I don't know if Jake Woodford's on there.
In his reserve.
but a lot of folks are on there, so you can go ahead. I looked at a lot of minor league stats. We'll put it that way. So you can go ahead on there. You get access to the 2023 summary and 2024 outlook of Peyton Burdick, Herb.
Oh, my goodness. He is on the 40, man.
It's true.
Speaking of, somebody was talking about Tuki Toussaint and is he giving up 7 runs in both games? No, he's only pitched 1 2/3 innings, 1 1/3 today, and a third of inning the March 1st versus the Cubs. He, in that Cubs game, walked 5 guys.
That's too many.
Didn't strike out anybody, like in this game, and didn't give any home runs, but gave up 4 earned runs, 6 runs overall. So his 2 outings so far for Tuki Toussaint, not great. But as you say, he could be working on things. He could be trying to do different pitches. That Arizona, the grips are not as good as the grips you'll get up here when you come up north in the end of the month. 22 days away, Vinny. Only 22 days away.
March 28th.
From us being at Guaranteed Rate, Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox, opening up the season with a 3-game set on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. After the break, we will hear from one of the people that might be a Chicago White Sox in 2024. It's Colson Montgomery, more than likely 2025 Chicago White Sox, but don't limit the kid. He always wants to be the best that he can be, and he is talking to our Vinny Duber after the break. But first, I want to tell you about CD1 cleaners. What makes CD1 price cleaners unique? They're low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD1 cleaners. Simple, transparent service. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment. Plus, they have upcharges. You may pay different prices each time you visit. At CD1 Price Cleaners, we charge one low price for any garment. Yep, even sports jerseys. The same one low price. And they have a fast turnaround at CD1 Price Cleaners. As their order ready the same day or the next day. With other cleaners, you could take 2 to 4 days to have your clean garments ready. And they provide text alerts at CD1 Cleaners. They send you a text when your order is ready for pickup. They have a variety of services. Of course, the dry cleaning, as we've talked about, but wash and fold laundry services, tailoring and alterations, leather cleaning, area rug cleaning, and so much more. What you need to do right now is visit chgo.cdone.com. That's chgo.cdone.com. CD1, spelled out CDONE.com. The link is in the description. Once there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or online pickup, and delivery options are available. Vinny, would you tell us about the great folks at Jacob Ladd & Kugel's Brewing Company?
What I want to tell you about, Herb, is Wisconsin innovation. The idea of taking a cheese curd and deep frying it.
That was smart as hell.
The idea of taking a water park and putting it inside.
Not my favorite thing, but good job.
The idea of taking a lakefront slab of concrete and putting a million bands on it.
Good job, Milwaukee.
And of course, making the delicious, delicious beer that they do up in Chippewa Falls. Yes.
I see my guy Luke McDonald enjoying a summer shandy today. Mercy.
Enjoying a summer shandy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Luke, that means it's shandy season. Shandy season is approaching, even though we haven't even dyed the river yet down here. Not yet. Summer up in Wisconsin, apparently, because the Ladd & Kugel folks have blessed us with that annual treat that is summer shandy. But of course, there's so much more. There's the sunset wheat that both Herb and I are enjoying today. There's that lakeside cherry that we've got some of over in the fridge over by there. And, of course, the honey vice made with real Wisconsin honey.
Real.
By real Wisconsin bees.
You think they just like, oh, when they go across the board, like, hey. They're like, Fonzie, hey, yeah. I'm staying here. I'm going back.
Hey. Hey, that's more Wisconsin innovation right there. So whether you're out on the beach or out in the parking lot before a ball game or up in a canoe somewhere up in the North Woods, you should be enjoying summer shandy this summer. Flavor life's simple moments with Ladd & Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Ladd & Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer over by there, down by the Jewels. Ladd & Kugel's, flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Ladd & Kugel Brewing Company in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. They got all my money in Chippewa Falls.
Yes, indeed. You talk to number 9 overall MLB prospect Colson Montgomery when you're down there in Arizona. And you wrote an article you can find on allchgo.com. This one is unlocked, guys. So you, who are not the diehard members, just everybody can have availability to Vinny's great writing on allchgo.com. So go there right now. But what were your thoughts about when you did speak to Colson, and what would he have to speak to? Because we're about to get to that audio real quick.
I think a phrase that I used in the writing today was excitedly healthy. The fact that this is a season, as to this point, unencumbered by physical issues for Colson has made him really, really happy and really, really kind of amped for what he's going to be able to show folks this season. He's very hungry to obviously get to first Triple-A and then the big leagues, obviously, but he almost certainly will be starting the season at Triple-A. But I do think, and as we're going to talk about after we listen to the interview, that this guy's going to be playing Major League Baseball this year. It just really seems like a no-brainer given the success that he's had to this point. And I think that success, again, is just boosting his confidence more and more. He seems comfortable in a Major League camp because this is his second one now. And then obviously that health. Having that health, he said last year, as you're about to hear, that when he was finally released to play, it felt like he was unleashing a caged animal. So this is a guy who wants to play, wants to succeed. He's had tons of success already. Now he just needs more games to show exactly what he can do.
And here it is, a quick snippet of what Vinny had to say to Colson, or Colson Montgomery had to say to Vinny when he was down in Arizona.
Just want to know how
big league camp's going for you so far.
It's going pretty well. I mean, it's my second one, so yeah. I'm a little more comfortable this year. I know a little more guys here, but I mean, last year I had a lot of fun here too, kind of making new connections and things like that. But coming into my second one, I'm a lot more comfortable and healthy is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing those two adjectives kind of describe how you feel going into the season too. Like, what kind of excitement level do you have going into the season?
I mean, I'm really excited just because too. I know I'm going into the season 100% healthy and able to get all the reps that I need here in big league camp, and I feel like that's the best thing, because you want to be playing against the best, you know, and get all these reps against the best, so then when you go and you play wherever I go, that things kind of slow down, you know. So I'm really excited for it. a lot of expectations for me, but I mean, it's not overwhelming. I mean, I've always kind of been on the spotlight, but I mean, that's kind of, you kind of want to be there though, you know? So I'm happy to be here. I'm ready to get playing.
What were you really the most pleased with last year with what you were able to get done?
Dude, I mean, I'm more pleased with how I carried myself with having to deal with all the injuries and things like that, of not even just the playing side, of just being able to, going through all that stuff, being here, not being where I think I should be. I mean, it's a toll on your body and your mind, you know. So the fact that I was able to get through all that, and then once I was released to go play, it was like releasing a caged animal. I was just like, finally, I can go play and things feel better. So I mean, I would just say I was happy with kind of how I went about my business and things like that. If not even the playing side, because I feel like that's always going to be there, you know. But I was just happy with how I carried myself.
How would you describe how hungry you are to get to the upper levels? Yeah. Obviously, you've played at Double A, but to get to maybe take the next step to Triple A, and obviously to get to the majors.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would just say, as any competitor in the sport, at the top of your game, you want to be at the top, you know. So I mean, I'm really hungry for all that stuff, and I'm not gonna push it. I'm not gonna put pressure on myself or anything like that, because it's just when you start playing worse, you know, you're thinking about a whole bunch of stuff and things like that. But I mean, I would say I'm hungry. Everybody should be hungry. And if you're not hungry, then you shouldn't be here, you know. So I would say I'm really hungry, just because of how I did in the fall league and things like that, and how I came back from the injuries and how I was playing well and things like that. Kind of opened my eyes and opened a lot of people's eyes of what I can do for the team.
A lot of folks, you know, aren't dialed into nightly, you know, minor league games, but they see, you know, scouting reports or whatever online. Yeah. Coming from you, how do you describe your defense?
I mean, I would just say I'm going to give everything I got. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a fierce competitor. I mean, I'm going to make the right play. I'm going to do whatever I can do to help the team. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of that, because you ask how I feel about my defense and things like that, and it's just, I'm going to do everything I can to help the pitcher out, help my guys out, and that's really all you can do at the end of the day.
Yeah, on that front, on the defensive front, what have you been working on this spring?
Just staying athletic, because I feel like what some people do is they get away from being what they actually are. It's being an athlete, because everybody here is clearly a really good athlete if you're in professional baseball. So I feel like a lot of people try and get too robotic with things, but for me, I was just trying to stay athletic, keep my feet moving, things like that, stay light on my feet, and everything else to take care of the rest.
Are you comfortable playing other positions if asked?
Yeah, I mean, whatever I can do to help team. I'm not going to say no. If they say you're going to be going to big leagues, but you're going to play second, I'm not going to say no, you know. So I'm going to play. I'm going to do the best of my abilities to help the team. And if that's what I got to do to help the team win, that's what I'm going to do.
How would you kind of describe the opportunity that you're getting this camp? I mean, you know, obviously there are major league guys in this clubhouse too, and you just said you don't want to rush yourself kind of thing. But do you feel the level of competition for you personally in this
camp? Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what makes a really good environment too, is that it's a competitive environment. I mean, you'd want that. Everybody wants a spot, and I feel like that's when guys shine, you know, and when there's competitiveness, when there's a drive, when there's people going at each other. I mean, we all love each other. We're all buds, we're teammates, we know that. But at the same time, like, it's somebody's job, and somebody's got to go out and take it, you know. So, I mean, I really like that side of the competitiveness, but I mean, I wouldn't say anybody has any pressure, putting pressure on anybody and things like that, because everybody knows what everybody in here is capable of doing.
Are you getting some pointers from the vets? Or, you know, Lopez, DeYoung, are they giving you some pointers?
Yeah, no, of course. A lot of it's just not even the baseball side of things. Right. It's just kind of going about your business, being a professional, how to deal with a lot of things. And I've gotten really close with DeYoung and Nicky and a lot of these guys, because, one, I didn't know most of them last year, but then now I've kind of really got a really good connection with them. So yeah.
What are your interactions with Chris Getz like? Obviously, he was the farm director before.
Oh yeah.
Before moving into his current spot.
I mean, no, me and Getz have a really good relationship, just because he was down on the minor league side with us and things like that. So I always talk to him here and there. But I would say it's kind of the same connection. I can talk to him about anything, and vice versa. So I feel like that's a really good thing. Is you have a guy who played the game too, so he understands a lot of what we all go through, and he's there for you no matter what. You know, know, outside of baseball, inside of baseball, it doesn't matter.
What's his message to you, Ben? And maybe it's a message that, you know, kind of resonates to everybody that he had in the minor leagues, but what is kind of his main message to you?
I mean, just don't take anything for granted, to be honest, because you never know when this game's going to be over. You never know when you have your last game or your last at bat and things like that. So just play 100% and just do what you can control pretty much, because at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of things that are out of our control. Mm-hmm. So he's just control what you can't control pretty much, and that's effort, playing hard, being a good teammate, and that's about it.
Awesome. Thanks for the time, Cole. Yeah, appreciate it.
Amazing. Like, guy's 22 years old. You know, never went to college. You pretty much drafted out of the high school, rejected his Indiana baseball and basketball scholarships. And just listening to him right there with you, Vinny, just, you know, he's got knowledge and, like, the wherewithal well beyond his years. And I'm very impressed with, like, he knows, like, getting in the major leagues is his thing. He wants to get there, but he doesn't want to rush it and is not stuck on shortstops. Hey, if they tell me I'm a second baseman, I'm a second baseman in the major leagues. That's what I want to be. And whatever I need to do to be part of the team. What was your biggest takeaway in that conversation you had with Colson Montgomery?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just listening to him and, like you said, kind of hearing some maturity, right, in his voice and in some of the things that he's thinking about. You know, I go back actually to a comment that Chris Getz made talking about Colson during the spring, which was he knows what it takes to be successful at the major league level, which is amazing,
yes,
considering he hasn't even played that much minor league baseball. It is a guy who kind of has his sights set on what he needs to do. And, the example that you brought up there of saying, hey, I'd be willing to change positions, whatever they need me to do. It very much echoes what we were talking about earlier with the whole playing fast Pedro ball kind of thing, right? It's like this is a guy who talks in the way that this team wants their identity to be. And, you know, I made the comparison to we're going to be spending this year asking Chris Getz that same question that we asked Rick Hahn so many times. Hey, when is Eloy Jimenez getting to the major leagues? When is Michael Kopech getting to the major leagues? When is Luis Robert getting to the major leagues? We're going to be doing it again this summer. Hey, when is Colson Montgomery going to be getting to the major leagues? He's going to be the cornerstone now. That I'm not saying that, you know, the careers are over for the three players that I just mentioned. Heck, you know, Luis Robert Jr. is an MVP type player, but as the White Sox move forward into their new long-term plan, their new rebuilding project, Colson Montgomery is going to be the cornerstone of it. And it seems like he's a guy who's very okay in having that role, talking about, you know, the spotlight not bothering him and welcoming that spotlight. He's, like I said, he's hungry to get up here, and you can tell. And you can tell that, you know, who knows what the success level is going to be once he reaches the major leagues, but you can tell that it seems like he'll be ready to handle it.
Yeah, and it's in his minor league career, he has yet to play 100 games in a season yet, but this should be the year. Last year, it was, you know, he was planning on doing that, but he was hurt early in the season. Now that he's healthy at the beginning of this year, and expectations are for him to eventually be with this team, if not at the end of the year, in the middle of the year, by next year, I'm just looking forward to the growth, because the numbers are just astounding offensively. Sean's read us things about defense, and it's not there yet, but he is, like he said in there, he's athletic, and he wants to stay athletic. I think he alluded that people try to get too robotic and start thinking about things. But what got you here, kid? Your athleticism, you getting to balls, you can throw balls to first base with the greatest of ease. So stop thinking out there. Once you stop thinking out there, you start being the athlete that you are. And so I'm just looking forward to the numbers we're just going to be getting in, because I remember back in when we were talking about the Aloys and the Yoans and the Luis Roberts, NBC Sports Chicago would used to air some of those games, and we're like, man, this is even better than the White Sox games. I'm not saying that they will be better than the White Sox games, but as people have pointed out, the minor leagues will be more competitive for the White Sox this year. And one of the main reasons is because of Colson Montgomery and the numbers he's going to put down, which I believe he'll probably more than likely start at AAA this year, and that'll be his start. And then from there on, I mean, if there's any hiccups or if this guy just goes off, there's nothing holding him back from being a major league player.
No, I don't think so. And I mean, I think, you know, Josh Barfield said when he came over after running the farm system in Arizona, kind of throwing the idea out the window of a player needs X number of at-bats before he can either move on to the next level or finally reach the major league level. I really think that they're going to be focusing in, certainly Paul Yonish, who's in charge of the farm system with the White Sox, but Josh as well and Chris as well. I mean, they're going to be focusing in on how this kid's playing and what he's looking like. I mean, the guy is reaching base last year at a 450 clip.
As 21-year-olds.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so, again, he's going to be facing another level of pitching. There's different parts of the offensive game, obviously. You know, he needs to master the hitting for average. He needs to master the hitting for power. And certainly the strike zone, it seems like he's just got that figured out already. But and then there's the defensive side of things. And listen, I don't think anybody that made afraid by some of these scouting reports that we've seen across the internet, some of these evaluations of his defense. I don't think anybody is against saying, why don't you take some more time in the minor leagues and make sure that you know what you're doing. The White Sox are looking for consistency. They're looking for a guy that can make the routine plays on a routine basis. When I heard, as I wrote about today, when I heard him reference the athleticism, it's a good point to make, right? You don't want to bog yourself down. But at the same time, isn't that what made Tim Anderson unsuccessful when he was over his – I looked it up, by the way. You know, he was here for 8 years.
That's 16 to 23, yeah.
That's a long time. 8 years.
That long.
And there were ups and downs, right? There were years where the number of errors was through the roof. There were years when you could tell he had worked his ass off to improve, mm-hmm. but it was inconsistent. And certainly last year, 15 more errors, I believe, in his last year with the White Sox. He could make these plays because he was so athletic that nobody else even had a chance at making. But then he'd get a ball hit right to him and the routine play would then not be consistent, right? I think the White Sox would prefer with Colson or really whoever that the routine play is what is consistent before you're making some spectacular plays because your athletic ability allows you to do so. So I think there's two sides to the answer that he gave there, the explanation that he gave. But if the White Sox see what they want to see from him, I don't understand why they wouldn't have him up here before the end of the year. Because this is like I said earlier, this is going to be his show here. Him and Luis Robert are the cornerstones when it comes to those position players, at least the sure thing, guys who are going to be around for a long time. Let him get ready. Let him get going. And he certainly seems built to be able to do so without much mental anguish, perhaps, even in, like I said, even though we have no idea what the eventual results are going
to
be.
And you alluded to the walks he had last year. He had the same amount of walks as strikeouts as last year in three levels, 56 for each of them. He batted 287, 456, and 484 with 13 hit-by-pitches last year.
Wow.
In only 64 games.
Crowding that plate.
Exactly. 9 in AA, where he played many of his games, the majority of his games last year. But after the break, we'll test Vinny's knowledge on both White Sox trivia and U.S. State trivia and put them together and see if he has the five White Sox who are named the best players of their states of all time. There are five of them. But our good friends.
Well, that never ended. I was waiting for the symbol there.
Wrong one.
But our good friends at Game Time think that you shouldn't be worried when you have to buy tickets for your next big event. Game Time is a fast, easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, theater events near you. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. My story is I went to Atlanta a couple years ago, wanted to see Truist. And I bought some tickets on Game Time. And then I went to all the rest of the secondary markets after I bought those tickets on Game Time to see if one had a lower ticket price. Only one did. And so I sent this information to Game Time. And within 12 minutes, I had the total difference, 110% of the difference, in my account within 12 minutes. And you can see the view from your seats before you buy. So you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. And with all-in prices showing their total up front, you know exactly what you get and a great deal without the hidden fees. You can buy tickets with two taps in seconds. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, even an hour after the event starts. The place to buy last-minute seats. And with zone deals, you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And like I told you before, the Game Time guarantee means you will always get the best price. You'll find tickets in the same section and row for less. Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference, so you can buy with confidence with Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CHGO for $20 off your first time purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. And I got to tell you about the CHGO Chicago collection that we just released this week for our birthday. Our second birthday that happened on Monday. CHGO Collection has these great shirts and hoodies. My favorite. I got the Second City one coming in the mail right now. So if you want to get one of these shirts, go to CHGO Locker right now and get yourself a shirt. And as I told you before, we have three takeovers this year for CHGO White Sox. We're going to have one May 27th versus the Toronto Blue Jays, KPW's Toronto Blue Jays. June 24th versus the LA Dodgers.
Who plays for them, Dodgers?
Freeman plays for them.
Yep.
Yamamoto plays for them.
Yep.
Ohtani plays for them.
Yeah, that's true.
And Will Smith. That's it.
Those are the four.
Not Mookie Betts.
Man.
No, Joe Kelly plays for them. So does Mookie Betts. So go. You can come with us to that game, and we can cheer on all those players and see some of your favorite Dodgers and White Sox players. And maybe by the August date versus the Cubs, we'll have Colson Montgomery up here.
After the trade deadline? Not unheard of.
We can have a Crosstown Classic, Colson Montgomery, and fireworks after the show. So if you want to go to those things, go to our website right now, CHGO, allchgo.com, and get those tickets. If you are a diehard, you get 20% off of all events, including that one. I have all the diehards who did sign up today. Let me get that list real quick. Before I get out of here and we get this test, today's new diehards are Joshua, John, April, Andrew, Kareem, and Eric. All those people, 20% off of events, 20% off merch. You get a free t-shirt when you become a diehard. And thank you for renewing the other day, Sean Janko. Really appreciate your, I think he's up in the comments up there, the heads up. Sean Jankowski, thank you for renewing your membership, a diehard membership. You're going to get a new t-shirt. He was asking which new t-shirt he should get. I was like, hey, man, I like that new Second City shirt, but all the shirts are good to go. You can get that CTA-style CHGO shirt. I know you like the pizza one, right?
I mean, I like anything pizza-related.
I mean, pizza works, especially Chicago pizza. Don't you hate when people's like, well, the deep dish is for tourists. Like, it's delicious.
Yeah, it is delicious. It's more pizza.
Pan pizza's good. Double dough's good. Right. Detroit pizza's good. The only pizza's not good, St. Louis.
Well, that's very true. I wouldn't even go as far to call that pizza.
Yeah.
That's a Ritz cracker with some mozzarella cheese on it.
And so, let's get to...
It's not even mozzarella cheese.
No?
It's that goofy... Provel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting. St. Louis. All right. MSN released a list of 50 states with the 50 greatest baseball players from those states. Subjective opinion there. They did use war on most of these people. There are five White Sox listed on this list. People who played for the White Sox. All of them played for a significant amount of time besides one. Can you give me these five White Sox that are listed as the best players from their states, Vinny? I'll give you one hit if you need one.
Okay. Well, I'll start with guessing that Frank Thomas is represented on here. From the great state of Georgia.
Frank Thomas is not the Georgia representative.
Which Georgian had more war than Big Frank?
I got to look it up again, but it was not the great Frank Thomas. He was not that guy.
0 for 1.
Let me just think. All these states... relatively small, except for the last one.
Okay, well, I'll go with this. I know, and this is birthplace.
Birthplace.
I'll go ahead and I know that Paul Konerko is from the great state of Rhode Island. I'm going to go ahead and guess he's on there.
Paulie the K is the Rhode Island representative, one of the only Rhode Islanders. I don't know if they call themselves that.
That's right.
He is the best one. Yeah. As the 279 average, 354 and 486 slugging percentage. Paul Konerko, Rhode Island's representative.
Rhode Island, not an island.
No, it's not. Surrounded by a lot of land.
Just land.
Yeah.
It's not even a peninsula. It is just part of land.
Yeah, it was a poorly named place.
I believe Carlton Fisk is from the state of Vermont.
Carlton Fisk is the Vermont best player in Vermont's history. Hall of Famer, Carlton Fisk. He is definitely a person. Now, these next three...
degree of difficulty is getting a little harder.
It is going to be a little bit harder on this one. Let me just say, one of these guys ended their career on the White Sox, and the two other ones are more known for other teams, but they did play for the White Sox.
Well, how about this? How about the state of Illinois? And Jim Thome.
Gentleman Jim was not the
not
guy.
On there.
Can you all give right. me the guy you think might have been? He was never a White Sox. Born in Chicago.
For Illinois?
Yeah. Born in Chicago. Not Kirby Puckett.
It's not Curtis Granderson.
No. And this guy is not known as born in Chicago because he spent most of his time in the Bay Area. It is Ricky Henderson.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah, he is the representative for the great state of Illinois.
Well, this is cheating a little bit because I believe this conversation is what sparked this segment. But I did find out the other day from Herb that Ken Griffey Jr. was born in Pennsylvania. Is he on the list? No. Wow. Who has more war than Ken Griffey Jr.?
Stan the Man Musial.
Oh, wow. He's pretty good.
Who was born in the same city, I think on the same actual day, not date.
Wow.
Not day, date,
yeah.
As Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, that's
so,
cool.
Yeah, Denora, Pennsylvania has two Hall of Fame baseball players. And by the way, Ty Cobb, Georgia's
makes sense.
He's decent. But let me give you, I could give you the two states and you can name me the players.
All right, we can try that.
Both of the Dakotas.
What?
Both Dakotas have White Sox ties. One is pretty easy.
Wait, don't I need three?
Yeah, the third one we've discussed the other day about the home run guy that didn't like playing for the White Sox here. And his 1 year, he's the White Sox. Known as a Cub.
Oh, Ron Santo.
Ron Santo is Washington's best player ahead of Ryan D. Sandberg, who was another Cub.
Okay, and so now I've got to guess two guys that were born in the Dakotas.
In the Dakotas. One was number 29. The other one, I don't know.
Not Paul DeYoung, though.
Not Paul DeYoung.
Because he's from Antioch.
He is from Antioch, from here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you want more hints,
you're going to have to give them. I have nowhere to even begin.
North Dakota's is Darren Erstead.
Grinderstead, as we called him. Okay.
And South Dakota, Keith Foulke.
Oh.
Keith Foulke is South Dakota's best player.
So I've been to both of those states.
Why? Did you lose a bet?
No, a few years ago, we took my now wife and I took a road trip out to South Dakota. We stayed at Badlands National Park. We spent a few days in the Black Hills, which I'd highly recommend to any outdoor enthusiasts. You know, very scenic drives. You get to do some hikes out there. And then we drove up to Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota, camped in North Dakota, which is something I never thought I would do. But saw the bison. Very cool. Very cool
stuff.
You
stay away from them?
Well, yeah, of course.
That's smart.
You stay in the car.
Even better. Oh, I hate those people who go out and there's a bison within 100 yards of them. Like, that's a bison.
So you're supposed to stay far away from them. Yes,
they can run.
Because they will gore you.
Yes.
So there were a couple of instances in which we were on foot and we saw them. There was one where we were going to walk down a trail and we saw that there was a bison standing in the middle of it. And I was like, we're not doing that. And then there was one when we're like, that was at the beginning. So we had the opportunity to be like, nah, let's just get in the car and go somewhere else.
Yes.
But then there was another one where we're well along the trail. You know, we're like, if you turn around, you have to walk the whole thing all the way back. And so there's a bison. We were like walking this way and there's a bison like over there.
Okay.
And we were just like, well, we have to walk by it.
How quick? How far away was this bison?
How far was this bison? I would say
eyeballing it.
I would say within a football field of distance. Yeah. I was very nervous.
Very nervous.
Yeah. My wife, braver than I am.
You guys are braver than I am. I mean, going out firstly to a place which might have animals that can do things to you is not my thing. But also, to see this great country, you got to do some risky things, like go out to see some bison. And I know you didn't go to see the bison out in North Dakota, but did you go and see the presidents up at Rushmore?
We did. That was not something that was really on my list, but we were like driving right by it and we had like time to kill before whatever else we were doing next. And so it was like, all right, we'll go. Very crowded. Impressive artwork, I guess. Like, nice job with all the chiseling and all. The surrounding area is gorgeous. Like, the land that it is on is beautiful. But we saw Mount Rushmore. I would not. It's not recommended by me.
Yeah, my fiance wants to do that thing where you go to all 50 states.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, Montana and Wyoming are two of the states there. Like, why? There's no reason to go to those places.
I disagree.
Just to check them off. It's just a big...
Beautiful. It's beautiful, Herb.
Utah is beautiful. New Mexico is beautiful. I get exactly
you go to all
I
of need. Them.
Like, I've been to both of those places. I don't need to go ever again. So, I guess after I do the ballpark thing, which is my selfish thing, we can go to all the places that don't have ballparks. Which I've never really been to Texas yet because she says that just stepping foot, like we just ordered Whataburger in Amarillo and then ate in the car and then I filled up gas at a Texas place.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
She says, I haven't been to Texas
yet. That doesn't count.
So I got to actually go to that place because I got to go to the two ballparks firstly. But yeah, I don't want to go to North Dakota or South Dakota. There's no reason there. Right, Sarah?
Yeah. I mean, I think that...
But
don't you want to see the bison?
Well, but the thing is like, I'm never going to nix traveling in general because I love to travel. Even if it's a place that's like poo-pooed, it's like, okay, well, I'll still go.
You've been to Alaska?
No, I've not been.
I've always wanted to go to Alaska.
That'll be late on the list, yeah.
Okay. In the summer.
But it looks and yes, in the summer. I'm not going to Alaska in the winter.
Yeah, it would have to just be a thing where we're just driving the car through the states and then we stop. Stay a night in South Dakota. I guess that's the technical thing.
But like the whole point, you're not going to like see the Hampton Inn in South Dakota. Have to go do a South Dakota thing.
Okay, I guess I'll go and see the presidents up there at Mount Rushmore, and then like, oh, great, you guys are still there. I'll just leave now immediately. Go to Jackson, Wyoming. If Luke says it, I'll think about it. But Wyoming and Montana, they're probably last on my list. Even you got things to do in Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire and those states up there, even though they're far as hell. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do in Wyoming. Just like chew tobacco.
You're really bad mouthing Wyoming when like Nebraska exists.
Oh, I've been to Nebraska. I stayed in North Platte, Nebraska. And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm looking at the rest of the states. I'm like, at least Nebraska has Lincoln and Omaha in it. So the rest of the area can kind of be good.
Like, you think that's like a thing worth praising? I'm not meaning to like crush Nebraska, but like you're like, oh boy, Lincoln, Nebraska, and you're like, oh boo, the natural wonders of the United States.
Yes. Even though Colorado, the most beautiful state I've ever been to, and I would never have gone to that side of Colorado if I wasn't driving through there, because I'm not a skier, so I wouldn't be in Vail or Breckenridge area. But driving through Colorado to get to California is a perfect way to see this United States and how big this place is and how small you are as a person. Don't ever forget that. You're a small person. Don't ever act like you're too big for this world. That's a message for the day. That's Vinny Duber. He's at Vinny Duber on X/Twitter. You can follow him there and read his latest article at allchgo.com about Colson Montgomery. Myself, I'm Herb Lawrence. Ecknerwall23 is where you follow me on Twitter. I have no articles on allchgo.com. This guy to my right, usually, is Sean Anderson. He'll be back eventually. He's on assignment right now. Hope the best for you, Sean. Sean_W_Anderson is the way you can follow him there. And CHGO_White Sox is the way you can follow the show. We're on tomorrow at 5 p.m. Thank you to Sarah, our producer, for doing a great job as always. And thank you to all of you. And on your way out, if you haven't yet, hit a thumbs up. And even if you don't like all the states like me, still hit the thumbs up. And we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye. All city like the mayor.